See, I've seen in my life when I've been sitting doing nothing, I go backwards, even though I get to church every Sunday. It's when you and I are involved in the workings of church life, this body, this amazing thing that God put together, that you and I, all of a sudden, we grow. See, when you don't go to gym for a long time, muscles start to, what's that big word? Atrophy. You and I can spiritually atrophy. Yeah. Is that good? Yes, yes. I failed English, by the way. But we're trying hard. We listen to other people's big words and then we try and throw them in there somewhere. So what happens, we need to understand that our spiritual life can become nothing. And I want to encourage us, keep encouraging your children to keep serving God. Get them involved. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are God's workmanship. We were created for a purpose. That's what I've been dealing with now in as we minister on Sunday, our purpose. And I need to tell you that, I mean, our son Joel, we want him to connect with that very purpose that God has got for him. He's not just a young man that's connected to us as a family. He's a gift from heaven to us so that he can fit in and become the puzzle part that he needs to be. But that doesn't just happen. It's because we pray, because we believe God, because we declare. It's because we are trusting God for this thing. And we make sure that we take every word that we know from the Bible and we attack everything that the enemy throws at him so that he can keep standing. And once having done all things, he will stand in Jesus' name. And number three, she had a big expectation. She had a big expectation. You know, some of us, it's almost like we wake up in the morning and our life is like a marble that's been battered all over the place. And, you know, come see, come so, nanu nanu, whatever will be, will be. No. We need to have an expectation. And I would say that, ladies, you have a massive role in that. She wanted her expectation. Lord, can one be on the left and one be on the right? She wanted her children to be influencers. Wherever they go, they don't leave that place the same, but the presence of God changes it. So I want to challenge us, ladies. Don't let your dreams and your expectations die. It doesn't matter how tough life might look like now. It might seem like your children have derailed and all the hordes of hell have just led loose. Don't let your dream and your expectation for what you believe in God for your children to die. You stay on your knees. You keep declaring what God's saying. You're not moved by what you see. You're moved by what God's word says. That's the end. That's the final authority. The devil's not scared of you. He's scared of the word of God in you. And if you will keep on declaring the word, I'm telling you, God's watching over his word to perform that. He has a plan and purpose. So Mrs. Zebedee was not concerned about others and not swayed by others. She wasn't worried about what everybody else was thinking about her when she made this request to the Lord. She took responsibility for what has been entrusted to her. Let's take that responsibility. And I want to say to every mom tonight, you have a responsibility. You're not in existence mode. You're in thriving mode right now. Life is tough, but you're in thriving mode because God is for you. He has not forgotten you. He's heard every cry. He's seen the tears that you've wept. He is for you in Jesus' name. I would like every mom to please stand. Every mom, we have something little for you. Moms, not dads, moms. Can you hand out, please, quickly? This is for, you can decide. I was going to say at midnight when nobody's watching. Here's the deal, because moms, the immediate thing is the children are going to come and say, Mom, can I share that with you? You see, we know it. That's why we honor moms, because moms pay huge prices. Keep standing, please, because I want to pray for you. Keep standing. Sublief, I know you stood long tonight with the worship. It was good worship, by the way. I really salute every single person that was bold, came up, brought a new song,
Well done. I salute you. You are amazing. Amazing, amazing, amazing.
So moms, last challenge before we pray for you. Will you disciple other women on how to do what you've been doing? The Bible says that. Older women, disciple the younger ones. Younger ladies, learn from the... I've got to be careful which word I use here now. These ladies that are standing. The wiser ladies. The wiser ladies. You know, no textbook can teach you what these ladies that are standing here can teach you. Because they carry heart. They carry feeling. They carry emotion. They carry stuff inside them. So when they talk to you, it's going to make an impact in your life. Never forget that. Here we go. We're going to pray for you.
Yes, Lord. We thank you for every mom represented here. I thank you, God, that you've seen everything that they've done right through their lives. People haven't seen, husbands haven't seen, children haven't seen, but you've seen everything. And so we thank you for them. We thank you for your hand upon their life. We thank you for even an anointing to be a mom, for the strength that you give them, for the courage that you give them, that Holy Spirit, you'd come and fill them, even as they stand there right now. Come and fill them with a spirit that just helps them to do everything that they do. Lord, I thank you that each and every one of them is cherished in this place. I thank you, God, that they'll be made to feel special by their husbands, by their children. We thank you for every mother in this place. I thank you, God, that you appreciate them. We appreciate them. I appreciate my mom. And I thank you, God, for everything that she's done for me. And I thank you that mothers are precious in your sight, that you love each and every one of them, and that you'll be with them in Jesus' name. Bless them, God. Amen.
Amen. Come on, let's give them a hand. Thank you for being who you are. We're going to be very short tonight. We have to be short tonight. So very quickly, we've been talking about purpose. The reason why you're here is because God has got something for you to do. A role to fulfill, a place to be, conversations to have, people to influence. There's things that you need to be doing while you're here on planet Earth. And so we started last week talking about our job description. Before that, we were speaking about love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. Tonight was a brilliant demonstration of loving the Lord with all your heart. Being creative. Just letting the overflow of your heart just magnify and worship the Lord. But there's more to it than that. You see, if this is where life ends, we're going nowhere. We're building a brilliant relationship here. But I believe that everything that we do in the getting to know who God is, we are to go and show somewhere else. Because otherwise, how will people know who God is if we keep our experiences to ourselves? And it's all about me and I. No, it's not. So God touches us so that we can become something, so we can go and do something. And so the question we looked at last week was, what did Jesus say about himself? I want to go back to that scripture again in Luke chapter 4, reading from verse 16. He, Jesus, went to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, and as was his custom, he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, unrolled it, and found the place where it was written. Verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me. He has anointed me. In other words, anointing means he has equipped you and he has given you everything you require for the job you need to do. It's like when you go to your working environment and they give you all the equipment, all the stuff you need so that you can get the job done. So it says, he anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he rolled up the scroll, he gave it back to the and sat down, and the eyes of everyone in the synagogue was fastened on him, and he began to say to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. So that was what Jesus said about him. This is what my purpose is. And then we started on last week
In John 14:12, Jesus said this, because the question is, if that was what Jesus was supposed to do, what should we do? And John 14:12 says, truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater than these, because I am going to the Father. So we landed last week in the sense of what we should be doing is what Jesus was doing. Amen. So we're on the same page? Great. So the first thing he said there, and is number one, preach the gospel to the poor. Preach the good news to the poor. How many of you love good news? There's not one person in this room that doesn't like good news. That's why I don't read the newspaper. Because that's a daily depression pill every single day. So I don't go there. People ask me, and this is on you, I don't listen to the news either. So I'm very ignorant about the big stuff that's going on in the world. I might hear something because of other conversations, but I've chosen not to. You say, well, you're very ignorant. I am. Because I don't want fear to breed in my life. I need to keep my eyes looking on Jesus so that I can trust him for what he needs to do. Now, that, I didn't say you must do that. That's what I've chosen to do for my own life. Okay, so he says here, says that we need to preach the good news to the poor. Poor means impoverished, needy, poverty-stricken, and deprived. So in other words, if you say that, someone who does not have and experiencing extreme lack. So we have to ask this question, what poor is Jesus speaking about here? And I looked up the word there, the poor, and it's in the Greek word, it speaks about a beggar cringing, flinching, and embarrassment. So he's talking about something. Now, I don't think it's a self-esteem building thing to be a poor person that's living in poverty-stricken stuff. I don't believe that that does a lot for you as a person. It does not build your confidence. You agree? So, and I believe that this poor can be many areas in our life, but two things that I do believe. Number one, we can be spiritually poor, and we can be financially poor. But when we can also be poor in many of our lives. But I want to just touch on those two things. Any poor, spiritually poor, Peter speaks about anyone who does not know the riches of life in Christ. You see, many people know about Jesus, but they don't know Jesus. There are very, this might be not an accurate statement, but there are many people that have heard about Jesus because they've been to funerals, they've been to weddings, they've been to maybe Easter service, Christmas service. So when you talk about Jesus, yes, I know Jesus. But you know about him, you don't know him. You see, I know many people in the world just because I've because I've read about them or I've heard people speak about them. But that doesn't mean to say that I know them. I don't know how they think. I don't know what their values are. I don't know, you know, when they're on their own, what do they love to do? I don't know those things. But I know about them because I've read about them. People have spoken about them. And Jesus said in Mark 25, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who's rich. And why did I put that one in there? That's in the wrong place. You see, that's what happens when you spuck and pluck. You pluck it in the wrong place. So that's wrong. Okay. But seeing that I've read it, let me just put it in there and we can just build around it a little bit. Okay? So it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who's rich to enter the kingdom of God. So what do you say about that, Lord Jesus? I don't know. But here's the thing. Let me think of a couple of things. Ludwig, why did you start here tonight? So here's the thing that immediately comes to my head when I read that, is that when you've got a lot of finances available to you, you they got the Afrikaans statement, a Boermakker plan? Hey, we can come up with plans. The problem is that the less that you have, the less plans you can come up with. And therefore, you need to be reliant on more and more people. But there's a real challenge that comes with this whole issue, Because Jesus said in John 14:6, you see, now I've jumped to where I should be. And he said this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one. What does no one mean? No one means no one. There's no other explanation. Everybody included. No one can enter the kingdom but through me. So in other words, Jesus is saying here, I become the doorway that you've got to come through. If anybody comes in fact, there's the parable about the wolf and it wants to come through the back way. If you don't come through the door, you're a wolf. So Jesus is being very clear over here. And he's talking about there is a certain way that we have to. The gospel is helps us to connect with Jesus so that we enter properly and we know that we've entered, not we thought we entered. Because many people think they've entered, but they haven't. They know, you see, we can get to a place where we use the language, but the heart's not there. I don't know if you've ever been there. When I'm in a corner, sometimes I run, try and use the right language just to get myself out of there. Whenever you catch, when I did many things wrong, when I was a lighty, and you knew that trouble was coming, you would try and talk your way out of there. And Jesus is saying, there is no other way to get into the heaven. The good news, there is a way, and it is only one way. And his name is Jesus. So the question is, what is the end for the one day, the one who doesn't? What is the end? Because if it's good news for the gospel is good news, in other words, it points you in the right direction, then obviously the other one is not such good news. And so we read, you know, Paul says in Romans 14:10, it says, for we all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow and every tongue will acknowledge God. So then, each of us, everybody included, will give an account of ourselves to God. There's coming a day. I'm going to have to please explain. I have gone to the headmaster's office before to please explain. I lost that debate. I came out a sergeant. Just the stripes were in the wrong place. They were supposed to be put here. They were put here. So it says, therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. So Paul also expresses the war that goes on. So if you think this is just a spuck and pluck thing and it's easy, no, it's not. Because he says here in Romans 7:21, so I find the law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. So he's telling us there that while we're still under the law of sin and death, we're a wretched person. We are to be pitied. He says, therefore, who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Then he says there, thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. There is only one deliverer. His name is Jesus. That's the highest name. So Jesus' purpose came to give us eternal life. And so us leaving this life without knowing Jesus Christ as Lord of our life separates us from the Lord forever. Eternity. Do you know how long eternity is? It's scary to think that. And to think that the Bible says that in his presence is fullness of joy. So it's going to be a time of great joy being in his presence. So if not being in his presence, rewind, I'm going to say that again. So if being in his presence is joy, what is it going to be like not in his presence? Seriously, not a happy place. You know, many people, people who are loving their sin make many funny comments on, you know, we're going to party in hell. You're not going to party nowhere down there. You're going to cook. You are going to cook. There's You will not be doing what you like over there. So that's what Paul is talking about. Who can rescue me? And when I thought about that rescue, I was thinking of someone who's drowning. Got sea over here, people go out there, and often they find themselves, they're not in a good place in the water, either because of a current or whatever. Why would somebody drown or start drowning? Because otherwise they can't swim, or they can't swim strong enough against the current, and the current's taking them, and they've become exhausted. Have you noticed that you can exhaust everything that you have here on earth, and it will still not satisfy what heaven requires of you and I? And a person that is drowning cannot save themselves. They have to be rescued. And so somebody goes out either with a boat or a tube or whatever, and they hold on to that, and that's how they are brought to safety. Jesus has become that tube that gets thrown out to you for you and I to grab hold of. I remember hearing a story of someone who was out at sea and he was drowning, and he was saying, "Lord, save me." And a big ship came by. And they said, "Come on, yeah." They said, "No, I've prayed the Lord's going to save me." Well, the ship left. And then the fisherman boat came by and they said, "Come on, come here, we don't help you." And they said, "No, I've prayed that the Lord will save me." And they left. And a submarine came and said, "Come on, get in here." And they said, "No, I've prayed that the Lord will save me." And they left. And the guy died. He landed up in heaven. He said, "God, I asked that you would save me. How come you didn't?" He said, "I sent a ship. I sent a fishing boat. And I sent a submarine. Why didn't you take them?" Ladies and gentlemen, we only have one who can save us. His name is Jesus. That is good news. That is good news. That means I can be saved. I don't have to drown. I don't have to stay where I'm at. And that's why in Luke 19:10 it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost." 2 Peter 3:9, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness, but is longsuffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." That is why life is more than just breathing air and having things. More than experiencing joy with all the things that the world has to offer you. It's about, where am I heading to when this life is over? And that is our responsibility as a church. This is not a sad message. This is an exciting message. And the thing that you and I should be doing every single day is getting out there and asking ourselves the question, who doesn't know Jesus? And for me to even lose sleep for the sake of putting myself in a place where God can use me to reach someone. I was so proud of Joel on Saturday. We run the park run. And I've got to the place now where I don't even try and keep up. In fact, I just eat his dust. He goes, he wins, And I just marvel at how he just keeps on doing a PB, PB, PB all the time. I think he's running a 5 kilometer now in 23. What is your, where are you, my son? 23? 23 something. I know sub 25, but it's 23 something. I mean, that's fast. I come like a snail in the bag there. Hey, I made it. Hallelujah. But here's the thing that I want to say about him. So on Saturday, he's running. And he connects up with someone, starts chatting with him, doesn't know him from a... And that's an amazing quality that he has. He just connects with people and just starts to talk. And while he's running, I don't know where he gets the ability to talk while he's running, because I can't. You come and run next to me, I'll just say, "I don't talk to you because I'm trying to stay alive." And so he asks the person, eventually he says, "Do you mind if I ask you a couple of questions, but you don't have to answer them if you don't want to?" And he said, "Number one, what is the first one about? What is your take on religion?" I mean, that's like deep theological question from a 15-year-old to a guy that's, I think, trying to stay alive, running. And then eventually it was, "If I invited you to church, would you come?" And I thought, that was amazing. That was amazing. You see, the gospel is good news. That it doesn't matter where you are. You can be running. You can be at work. You can be under pressure. There's always going to be an opportunity for you and I to tell somebody about this amazing relationship that we have with a God that loves us, that paid a price that I would never be able to pay so that I could enjoy that life. That's good news. And Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach that gospel. Tell people that story. Cause people to experience. And I want to leave you with this because time is finished now. But Jesus speaks to his disciples for the last time. And in Mark 16, he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And somebody added this, and use words only if necessary. Can your and my life speak about Jesus louder than anything else? Before we even open our mouth, may people see something that we carry. That's, I believe, true testimony. So I pray for every single one of us. May we be those people. May we be the people that will not cringe and be embarrassed. What am I going to say? How am I going to approach this? But that you would be bold because you love him so much. That you've experienced him so much that you want people to know about him. Have you noticed that when somebody meets somebody and they're going to get married and they're engaged, they are not ashamed of their partner. They are my fiance. They're very proud. Let us be proud about the God that we serve. Amen. Let's pray. My Father, we just love you. We thank you that you are good news. We thank you that your acts of love towards us has demonstrated who you are. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you've provided the fulfillment to the penalty of sin. Lord, you've provided a doorway for us to be able to enter the kingdom of heaven and live with you forever. We thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to build this relationship with you, the God of heaven, the creator of all things. Father, we thank you for that. Thank you for opening the way so that we could be free from the power of sin. Thank you that, Lord, you made a way so that we could become whole by body, soul, and spirit in Jesus' name. We thank you. You've broken the power of hell, death, and the grave. Thank you that you're transforming our lives so that now we have a testimony of your goodness. Father, you've been generous with your life. Therefore, Lord, we want to be generous with our lives. And we want people to see who you are. And I pray for all of us. Lord, will you open our eyes to see the opportunities? And Lord, will you give us courage to step out and do something like we did tonight? Became courageous in doing something. And if it goes nowhere, it's okay. We've lost nothing. But if it goes somewhere, oh Father, all of heaven will rejoice. I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Give us courage to be those people. We thank and we give you praise. We give you praise. With every head bowed and every eye closed. Maybe you're sitting in this room and you don't know about this God. You know of him, but you don't know him. You've heard about him. You may be being caught up in conversations about him. Maybe you've been in debates, but you don't know him. There's one thing that you need to know tonight, that God loves you, and that's why he came. He might not be agreeing with the way that I'm living right now, but he still loves us. And he's the only one that can take us from where we are to where we should be. But it's going to take you and I surrendering to his leadership, to his ownership. Jesus said this, you must be born again. Born again means I'm inviting him into my life. He takes over. And I let go of my life. Is there anybody in this room tonight you don't know Jesus Christ? Or maybe you have, but you've become cold in your walk with Jesus. And you realize tonight, I need to fix that. You see, you can't take people where you haven't been yourself. And I'm asking you tonight, is there anybody I want to pray with you? I can't take you to heaven. Nobody in this room can take you to heaven. Only Jesus can. That's why we point you to him. And that's why when we lead you in a prayer just now, we're going to confess him as Lord of our life. Is there anybody in this room, not to embarrass you, but just to say, yes, this is me. Will you put up your hand and say, yes, please, will you pray for me? I need Jesus in my life. I need that good news that you've been speaking about. Maybe you've got a lot of mountains that you're facing right now, challenges that are really, really difficult. He's the only way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you. We thank you for your goodness, Lord. We thank you for your goodness. So, Father, I want to thank you tonight. As we heard your word, Lord, and we're getting to learn more and more about what you have made us for, I pray that we'll step into that in Jesus' name. I commit every single person to you. I pray that, Lord Jesus, you said that your word will not return void, but it will accomplish what you sent it to do. So, Lord, I pray that you'd watch over your word and form us to become that, I pray, in Jesus' name. Commit all these wonderful people to you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your kindness towards us, Jesus. We love you so much. Bless every family. And again, we bless all the moms. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Basil. James, would you come?